Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. It's always good to be worshiping together, whether literally in this building or we worship together to at our homes. It's always good to come together to worship. Now, today I entitled our sermon "Giving Sacrificially." And just to give it a heads up, it's not necessarily about money, but it has to deal with giving with the right heart. And before we go into our message, I want to ask that we pray together and invite the Lord's presence to be not just with us, but I recognize that I am ever dependent upon Jesus to speak his words. I want to invite you to pray with me. Father God, as we go into our message, may the message be not of my own message, but Lord, let me always share a message that you have placed in my heart. And as I speak, may it not be my own words, but may the Holy Spirit speak through me. But Lord, in many ways, that's just half the formula, Lord. We ask that the Holy Spirit will also speak and touch each individual that is here, that is listening, that is connected with us, that the Holy Spirit will impress upon their hearts what you would have us to hear and to do. We commit ourselves into your hands, O God. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Giving sacrificially. In the neighborhood where I grew up, in New Jersey, my family discovered a chestnut tree. And I don't know if you have ever seen a chestnut tree in Texas. I'm not sure if they're here or not. I know there are plenty of pecan trees. In fact, where I came from, south of San Antonio, there used to be an Adventist pecan factory, which has long closed down. But in my neighborhood, there was a chestnut tree, and it was about a mile away. And during chestnut season, which if I remember correctly, it was fall, I could be wrong about that. But during a chestnut season, my family would go to this lone tree to collect these delicious brown nuggets of deliciousness, right? Now, I don't know if you ever seen chestnuts actually in nature before, but they actually come in this really prickly package, and it actually looks like a really spiky sea urchin. And when it finally ripens, the chestnuts fall out, or sometimes the spiky covering also falls out with it, and you have to kind of like go and like, you know, pick your way through and be careful as not to get pricked. But this particular tree in New Jersey, in our about a mile from us, it was a prolific bearer of nuts. Every season, there will be thousands of nuts that no one really seemed to collect. But these chestnuts were not just like typical nuts, but they were large, and they were tasty, and they were sweet, and they were also free. But as a 7 or 8 year old boy, the ordeal or the process of picking chestnuts was quite embarrassing for me. I was very self-conscious. For one, the tree was located on a busy street, and cars would be passing by left and right, and some people would look at, what is that Asian family doing? On top of that, what made matters worse was that this tree was literally located right in front of a house on private property. But my Korean parents, they were not embarrassed at all in situations like these. In fact, they would go where no man has gone before in search of delicious edible morsels. But for me, I was a little bit more self-conscious, and it was embarrassing for me. I never really liked to do it. But one day, our pastor came to visit us. And before I go on with the rest of the story, I need to give you a quick background of our relationship with this pastor. A few years back, an Adventist pastor somehow found out about my aunt, who lived in a duplex next to us. And when he came to visit her, He also discovered that my mom or our family was actually living next door. And after having visited her, he also visited my mom. And my mom was just happy to see another Korean face. Here she is in a foreign country, not speaking the language, not knowing anyone, and not even having a good relationship with my aunt. She was so happy just to see another familiar face. And this pastor invited both of them to go to church, and my mother happily accepted. To skip much of the story, a year later, my mom actually got baptized into the Adventist faith. And along the way, she started bringing my dad, who later on, he too gave his life to the Lord. And that's how we all became Adventists. So this pastor and our family had history. We love this pastor. I remember him to be a short, balding, round man, but very loving and kind. And because I love this pastor, I wanted to do something nice for him. I wanted to do something special for him. But as a little kid who was about 7 or 8, what do? I don't really have a lot of money, if any money. Like, what do? Give him one of my toys? And I had this idea that I would sneak out while the pastor and my parents were talking, that I would sneak out the back door, and I would hike the 1 mile to this chestnut tree. And by the way, kids, please don't do this. Follow Pastor Steve's example. Back then, it was a different world, and plus, I think it might have been a little foolish on my part, too, so please don't follow my example. But I did sneak out the back door, and I hiked the 1 mile to the chestnut tree. And when I got there, I started picking these chestnuts off the ground, and I started filling this brown paper bag. And for some reason, the embarrassment did not seem to actually bother me at the time. And I don't know how long it took, but soon I filled my little hands, filled that brown paper bag full of chestnuts, and I hiked back and snuck back into the house through the back door. I don't even know if my parents realized I was gone. But as the pastor was about to leave, I handed him the brown paper bag full of chestnuts. And as soon as my mother saw the bag, she knew where I had been. And she explained to the pastor the story of the chestnut tree that we had found. And you know, he never forgot about those bag of chestnuts. Even decades later, into adulthood, whenever he saw my parents or myself, he always brought up that story of the brown paper bag full of chestnuts. He never forgot that small act of kindness. Growing up, I never really understood why he liked that story so much. But as I reflected upon that event, I kind of understand now. What was so great about these chestnuts? Did he really, really like chestnuts? I don't think that was it. Maybe he liked them because he saved a few bucks from having to buy chestnuts. But I don't think that was it either. It wasn't about the face value of those chestnuts, but rather the great value that was attached to that gift because of the heart that was attached to that humble gift. The brown paper bag of chestnuts represented the sacrificial love of a little boy who just wanted to show his pastor some love. Interestingly enough, long after those chestnuts were devoured and eaten and gone, the memory of that sacrificial love remains to this day. Now, this pastor has long been passed away, but even into his old age, he always brought up that story of the chestnuts. And I would say sacrificial love is powerful. The book of Mark, chapter 12, shares a parallel story with the scripture reading. It's actually the same story found in Luke chapter 21. Mark says it this way. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. But then one poor widow came and threw in a few mites, which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given into the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Now, when I imagine this story, I imagine that Jesus is in the court temple, more specifically, the court of women. Now, after a long day, I imagine that Jesus is just sitting in the aside someplace, observing people just coming in and out, in and out. And people were coming to this offering box in this court, putting in their offering. Many have come and gone, but according to Mark's account, the rich have put in much. At least by the estimation of the common folk, they have put in much. Now, how did they know the rich put in much? As often the case, the Pharisees often made a public display of piety, of a holiness, of how spiritual they were. Maybe, hopefully not all, and maybe probably not all, but many did. The Bible tells us that these people would often pray loudly on street corners and in the synagogues to be seen by people. And when they fasted, they made it known that they were fasted. Historians actually tell us that many people that fasted in Jesus' day, when they lost weight on from fasting on their face, some would actually take some form of their, you know, makeup. I don't know exactly what that entails, but they took makeup and highlighted certain portions of their face to make it seem like they had lost more weight than they had, because it was all about the public display. So much of it was about display, the desire to be admired. And so we can kind of guess, in this courtyard of women, it's called that title because that's where, up to the point where the women could gather, and unfortunately, that's where their presence ended, right? They couldn't go into the inner courts and whatnot. So in this courtyard, people were coming, dropping off their offering. And the rich were likely making a very public display of their offering. Maybe they took a bag and they plopped it down onto the offering box. I don't know. But the Bible does tell us that they gave much, and the people knew it. Not all of them did this, but many did, making a scene and giving to the treasury as to be seen by others. But notice that Jesus actually does not condemn the giving, because the gift itself was not something negative. In fact, it was something positive. So it wasn't the act of giving that grieved Jesus, but it was how they gave that grieved Jesus. But he contrasts the giving of the rich with the giving of this poor widow. The Greek word translated here for poor implies hand to mouth. And those of you who know that expression, you know that means that they live literally day by day, right? In the sense that they live meal by meal, right? Like they don't know where their next meal is coming from. And by no means did this widow know that where she was getting her next meal. She literally lived day by day, meal by meal. And the Bible says that she gave her two mites into the treasury box. Now you might be asking, how much is two mites? And some Bible versions actually say, the NASB says that two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. I'm going to skip over the NIV. And the ESV, the English Standard Version, says two small copper coins, which make a penny. Now, we understand why they come to this conclusion, because in many ways, a mite or lepton was equivalent to a penny, in the sense that a lepton or a mite was a Greek coin that was the smallest denomination in circulation in Christ's time. And for us, the smallest denomination in circulation is a penny, right? And so in many ways, we understand why they translated it this way. But the reality is the mite actually had a little bit more spending power. And this is how we know that. The Bible says that, at least in Mark, that two mites equaled a Roman quadrant. And that's actually a Roman quadrant. I don't know if you can actually see that. Yeah. And so two mites equals a quadrant. And how much is a quadrant? A quadrant is equal to 1/64 of a day's wages, often called a denarius, right? And so a quadrant was 1/64 of a common folk, a fair pay for a day's wages for a blue-collar worker. So in if we put it in our terms and U.S. dollar terms, if we say a person makes an average, or let's say we'll make something up, $15 an hour, and they work for 8 hours a day, that comes out to $120 a day. And I can do that not only because I'm Asian, because I actually wrote it down. $120 a day, and we divide that by 64, it comes out to $1.88. So roughly about $2. It's roughly about $2. So two mites is roughly $2. So it's not a lot, but it's not two pennies either, right? And so the Bible tells us that the widow gave two mites, which was worth about $2. But Jesus, reading her heart, knew that even though this was seemingly a very tiny, insignificant amount, he knew that she had given all. She had seen into her heart. And he knew that with the giving of this offering, she had no idea where her next meal would come from. There was no plan B. And I imagine that had the priest seen this woman giving her two mites, maybe he would have smirked at that pitiful gift. Maybe some people would have rolled their eyes saying, oh, brother, two mites, two pennies. Perhaps some people were embarrassed for her. Maybe others were even felt good about themselves because they gave so much more than she did. But not so with Jesus. Jesus read her heart and understood that those two mites were worth more, so much more than what others had given. Why? Because the value of the two mites were not estimated based on the worth of the coin, but by the heart that was attached to that gift, to the motivation attached to that gift. Her heart went with the gift. And Jesus saw that her gift was motivated by love and a desire to do something for God. So she sacrificed much and gave. She gave sacrificially because she loved God. And so she loved sacrificially. I would dare say the giving of oneself in sacrificial love is a powerful force. The fact that we are still talking about this poor widow giving her two pennies, her two mites, till this day, 2,000 years later, shows the power of sacrificial giving, the power of sacrificial love. I want to make a request to young to the parents of young children or even parents-to-be, there may come a time when your child may want to give to the Lord. Maybe they come across 10 cents and they want to give a portion of that to the church. And I ask that you will not brush them aside, but let them do it. Even if it's a penny or two, let them give back to the Lord. It's not about the face value of the gift, but the heart that is attached to that gift. There is power in sacrificial giving. There is power in that sacrifice gift of love. But this story of the widow and her two mites is not just about money, so much more. And I'm sure you heard of something called YouTube. I think these days we spend so much time on that social media platform. But a few years ago, I saw a video that a father had posted on YouTube. Now, he and his daughter went to a restaurant, a very nice restaurant, and they were both eating a nice steak dinner. And the girl probably wasn't more than maybe 7 or 8. And there they are seated by a window, and she turns and looks out the window, and she sees a homeless person sitting on a bench. With her father's permission, she takes her steak dinner, plate and all, and goes outside and hands this homeless person her steak dinner. Church, I was actually moved by that sacrificial gift. And I have to think that if we are moved as uncles and fathers and grandparents and so on, if we are moved by the sacrifices of our children, how much more is our Heavenly Father moved by our sacrificial givings, our sacrifices? And I would say that it does not go unnoticed by the Lord. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, and then he will sit on his glorious throne, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger, invite you in, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or come to you? And the king answered and said to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. If anything, there's multiple lessons that we can get from this scripture. But one thing that we can get is that God sees and recognizes our sacrificial givings. God sees our sacrificial love. Now, I want to clarify. We don't do good works to earn God's love because he loves us unconditionally. And we don't do works to be saved, right? Because we are saved by faith. That is clear. But those who are in a saving relationship with Jesus already, we become instruments of God's love. And so we do good works by faith. Not to be saved, but because we are already saved. John 13:35 says this, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's not also about getting credit. But I know that when God sees us sacrificial love, it pleases him. And I would dare say it brings him joy. And in doing so, we accomplish something else. We bless others. We love one another in action. And I would also say that, in fact, that we are created to bless each other, to love one another, and to serve one another. There is a story about a man who visits a cathedral thousands or hundreds of years ago, back when great cathedrals were being built. A man visits this one of these cathedrals in the process of being built, and he sees one of the builders, a builder carving a tiny bird with such detail and preciseness and carefulness. The visiting man asked this builder a question. Why are you putting so much effort and energy into that, carving that little bird, knowing that that beam will eventually be covered up by the roof and no one will see it? No one will see it. But the builder replies, because God sees. He built, he carved, he put energy, time, meticulousness, because God sees. See, we work, we toil, we sacrifice, not for the glory of man, not for our pride's sake, not for worldly honor, but for the glory of God. That's what he was trying to say. We do everything for the glory of God, not for our own esteem. And God sees what we are trying to do. God sees our sacrifices. He sees our efforts. He sees our hearts. God sees. For mothers who wake up 3 a.m. to change your baby's diapers, God sees your sacrifice. For fathers, when you get back from work and you're exhausted and you just want to relax and just sit down on the couch and just like melt away, right? But your kids beg you to go to the park. And you sacrifice and you go to the park for the sake of your child, God sees your sacrifice. To the grandparents who are raising your grandchildren for one reason or another, God sees your efforts. To the brothers and sisters that look out for your siblings, thank you, God sees your efforts. Kids, when you're at school or church and you see another kid eating by themselves and you decide to sit with them, God sees your act of kindness. To all those who return their tithes and offerings faithfully in times of, especially in these tough financial times, it is a sacrifice. And I want to say thank you, and God sees. In this pandemic, when it's inconvenient and a nuisance to wear our mask, knowing that it really doesn't give us that much benefit, but it does help others, it's a sacrifice, and God sees your sacrifice. From the doctors and nurses and even the janitors who were working the hospitals so that we can receive medical treatment, and all the others that are sacrificing and endangering themselves during the COVID-19 pandemic, I want to say thank you, and that God sees. For the volunteers at the food pantry, our food pantry, and our homeless feedings, and our bottled water feedings that helps feed our hungry community, thank you, and I want to say God sees. But there are others who work behind the scenes that keeps this church going, behind the scenes. For those in the media in the back, they come here on Friday nights to get ready, and they work remotely from home to get our service ready for Sabbath. We don't see that. But God sees, and I want to say thank you. And to our elders, who I meet with them every 2 weeks, so to make sure that we're headed down the right track, and to make sure that our people are cared for, thank you. God sees. For the board members that sacrifice their time and the energy to keep this church going, I know your time is valuable and that it is in limited supply, but I want to say thank you. And that God sees. But there are tons of others, right? The deacons, deaconesses, our Sabbath school teachers, to the men's ministry in preparing to keep our church safe, our youth ministry leaders, our children ministry leaders, our family ministry leaders, women's ministry, our greeters, our cleaning team, and countless others who work for the Lord in the open and behind closed doors. Behind the scenes, I want to say thank you, and that God sees. And know that God sees you, and know that your sacrifice, your gift of love, there's great potential in what you are doing, and there's great power in giving sacrificially. As we close, I want to continue to encourage us. Sometimes we don't get the recognition we really should get. I want to encourage you, God sees. There are times you ask yourself the question, why am I doing this? Maybe no one notices. Maybe no one seems to care. But I would be bold enough to speak on God's behalf and say, God sees, God cares, and I want to personally thank you for all that you do. Church, as we continue to do church together, and as we continue to support each other in this pandemic, I pray that we will each do our part to give sacrificially, to look out for each other, and to bless each other. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, if you noticed a poor widow just giving her 2 mites, just $2, it shows us that there's nothing that goes without being noticed by you. You saw that, and you commended this woman for that. Lord, there are tons here, many here, that represent the widow here today. They have been giving sacrificially. And I'm thankful that you see and that you recognize the gifts of love that they have offered to you. Lord, may we not be weary of good doing. May we continue to be, in by faith and by your grace, continue to be abundant in well-doing and blessing others. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be a blessing to each other, but to be a blessing to you. And may we continue to go forward, trusting, obeying, and may we also continue to go forward, giving sacrificially. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.